Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Kip Harris, who has been the overall chairman for RAGBRAI. So good morning to you, Kip.
Good morning, Lon.
And are you on your way to recuperation?
Yeah, I think most of the committee by Wednesday of this week will be back to normal.
It's some long, long hours and kind of into the night and morning and so on, but that you know you expected. Let's start, Kip, with how does this happen? Kip is the general chairman, but way beyond you, lots of help, right?
Well, that's exactly right. I would first like to thank some of the key committee members that helped make this event successful. Of course, the office staff at the chamber office, Ann McCurdy, Megan Roberts, and Marie Porter were very instrumental in making this an excellent event. Then we had Leroy Phillips, Bob Sweeney, Amy Jorall, Police Chief Green, and Chip Hansen from First Whitney Bank that made up the core of the committee, and then they surrounded themselves with people on top of that. Without those people doing what they did, and without the hundreds of volunteers who were out there, we couldn't have made this event as successful as what it was.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think people who aren't involved with organizations sometimes don't realize all of the work that it takes to do any event and how many people are involved with that. Do you have some estimate of how many hours, total hours, it takes to put RAGBRAI together?
Well, you know, I watched a presentation here last week, which is called A Million Spokes, and that's actually a documentary on RAGBRAI that was done in 2010. And they talked to an individual in Mount Pleasant, and they estimated that their total man hours were right at 2,000 hours. It'd be interesting to go back and look at that, but I'm going to go off of what they had, probably in the area of 2,000 man hours to pull the event off.
Mm-hmm. And each person has to put in their own time to really, really make it happen. And everybody is out there doing different things. Now, you don't just start from scratch and say, okay, we're going to put this event together. You do have a model to start with.
Yeah, when they announced that, or when they actually come to the Atlantic Chamber and ask us to host this event, once Atlantic says that they will, then they come in, once the route is announced and you're chosen to be one of the overnight stays, then meetings start at that time where you get your committees put together, and then Des Moines Register has a staff, two individuals that come out, and they've got a binder that's put together that's about 4 inches thick that help you make sure you do all the right things so that you can cash flow it, so that you don't lose money, and you can do all the things that needs to happen to make the event successful.
And I know in the past we've heard some stories about groups, people, so on, businesses who've lost money, and there probably are a few of those that we haven't heard yet. But in general, the few things that you've heard, I mean, we haven't had a lot of time to talk about this. Do you think in general that there was money that came into the community?
Well, preliminary reports, we're going to have a follow-up meeting next Monday at the Chamber office to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly that happened during this event. But, you know, we're going to have many positive things to talk about. I'm hearing stories out there now that, like your band and wrestling, football, athletic teams up at the high school, along with the cheerleaders, preliminary reports are showing that group probably made somewhere between the area of 15 and 20,000. Along with that, I've heard indications that the Elks Club sold out all their food. The churches, I haven't heard anything negative that come from all the church groups around town. So I think that it was ultra successful in what we accomplished.
And from one little report I heard on the radio, listen to the radio, Steve Green said, there were really no major accidents, people getting into trouble. It was not much of that going on.
No, that's correct. I heard him yesterday in his interview say that they didn't have anything that, like you said, nobody get hurt. We did have some heat-related issues that were taken care of, and our emergency management people and emergency personnel got them people to where they were taken care of on a timely manner. And the neat thing was they came in 36 hours later. They're gone. You wouldn't even know they were here 36 hours after the event started.
And, you know, and I've heard that in the past from people who have lots of tenters and, you know, people who stay at their houses, that they pretty much pick everything up and leave everything. There might be a little impression in the ground, but in general, the bikers do a lot of picking up also.
Yeah, they want to leave it like they saw it when they showed up. Yeah, you'll have a few things here and there. I guess The beverage garden is one place where you might have some disarray, but that's fully expected in that situation because you're dealing with alcohol and the event and that. But even with that being said, people are very conscious of throwing their cans in containers. If you got the containers there for them and that. Bob Sweeney was in charge of our campgrounds, and which he did a masterful job with that. We got the school system involved this year, which was the first time in all the six times they've been here. And I know he walked the area yesterday morning just because he was conscious that he didn't want to leave anything, you know, out there. And I think I recall him saying there was only a couple of things that he had to actually pick up. So when you consider the number of people that were there in the Heritage House area and all the school area, that he only had to pick up a couple of things, that's just incredible.
Yeah. Kip, what kind of estimate have you heard of total number of people? We've got the bicyclers, we've got all their support group, and then there are some people who just come from other places because they want to be a part of it. Do you have any estimate, any guess?
Well, like we're always told, anywhere from 15 to 20,000, 10,000 are actually registered riders, and then they say you could actually have another 5,000 that don't register, that don't want to pay, or only want to ride one or two days during that time. And then on top of that, you know, the thing that the registers always preach to you is that where you're going to make your money to actually cash flow the whole thing is you want your local people to come out to view the spectacle and the event. And they're going to be the ones that stick around to the later hours into the beverage garden, because most of the riders, they're going to get to bed at a decent hour.
Yeah, they've worked hard the day before or during that day, and they know they've got another day like that coming up. And so I think most part, yeah, they're sleepy, they're tired, they got to keep their energy up. Kip, have you heard any report about who of the bikers, you know, where did they come from?
Well, they come from all 50 states, and we're told that there were seven different countries that they came from. Again, I can't give you the exact countries, but we do know we have representatives from all 50 states.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And I'm guessing as time goes by, Kip, in the weeks ahead, you're going to hear more stories about so-and-so stayed at our house, and they were from such-and-such place, and what their response was to being here in Atlantic, in Iowa, because some of them are first-timers.
Oh, that's right. Wes and TJ told us this year that one-third of the riders are new to RagBri every year, so you've got a pretty good turnover. So when you think of that, one-third of the riders, you're looking at, what would that be, about 3,000, 3,500 people of the 10,000 that are registered are new to the event every year. But then you've got those other people that have ridden it numerous times.
And it's fun. I'm not sure how much time you had to really watch all the bikers, and I watched them just for a few minutes. The variety of ages and the variety of bicycles.
Well, yeah, that's correct. We watched yesterday here. I stopped at the office before I went down to help clean up some more. We watched a family go by. They had a bicycle with two young boys, the dad, and then they had a little trailer behind with a little guy in it, and then the mother had a bike with their daughter on that bike. So they... Yeah, you see that, and you see people of all ages, and you even see people that have some disabilities that have set up bikes where they're just hand pedaling with their arms and that. It's an incredible event to see.
It really is. If you didn't get to see at least a little part of it, you've missed out. Wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, looking ahead, they're probably going to come back to Atlantic sometime because Atlantic's in a good location. How do you start? I mean, obviously this time the chamber sponsored, but how do you start besides getting these great volunteers?
Well, first off, the number of man hours it takes to do that, I don't know that you could assemble this group again right away next year because of what we've been through in that. But it's one of those things where RagBri also knows that every 5 to 7 to 10 years they can come back to a community and ask them to go ahead and host that event with that. But I don't think the general public realizes how many total man hours are put in. We as a committee met every Monday at noon, and with that then we actually met again at 5 o'clock that night, and we broke out with subcommittees, and then all those committees had meetings on top of meetings and meetings and meetings. And you know, I can't say enough about the volunteers, because they do this on their own time. They take away from some of the things that they could be doing that they just feel that strongly about our community that they're willing to step forward and put in all those man hours.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there are the city workers and the county workers and all those people who do extra kinds of things to get ready for them, too. And, you know, we haven't had a chance to visit with Lewis and Griswold and all those other towns. Hopefully they had good experiences, too. I think, Kip, we owe you and all of the volunteers, the nameless volunteers that we couldn't begin to list, a big thank you for carrying this off because, like you say, somebody comes to Atlantic today, they'd never know that RAGBRAI was here on Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, that's right. Like we talked earlier, you know, it's a 36-hour event from the time that they actually start arriving to the time that they leave. And, you know, the endless hours of volunteer time prior to that coming. But, you know, they get here, start arriving at 8 o'clock in the morning, and by 3 o'clock the next afternoon, you wouldn't have known they were here.
Well, thank you very much for your time today, Kip, and all of your time, and thanks to all the others for doing all of that work. Until next time, here's a thought. God and angels don't get paid, even though theirs is some of the most important work around. The same goes for volunteers.